Don't you feel wonderful?
Yeah.
Of course. Again, good afternoon. And it's good to be with you here again. Most of you have come to listen to words. But I tell you, the message is in between the words. In the silence, when there's no talk going on. That's the message. That's where truth is. That's where reality is. When there are no sounds, no words. Words are only to motivate you to keep quiet. That's what words are good for. Chanting words are only to quiet your mind. To keep you still. And the stillness is your reality. And the quietness is your strength. Not in the noise, not in the talk. Try to be quiet most of the time. Do not get involved in too many conversations. People have been talking since the beginning of time. What has it accomplished then? Look at the world. The precarious condition is in. It's all done by talking. Talk, 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 talk. And then they come here to listen to me talk. To add to the confusion. But I say to you, you have to give up the talking. You have to give up all the dogmas and confusions and nonsense. Drop it all. And be still. Be still and know that I am God. When you are still, you will feel the presence of the power. You will feel the absolute reality of which you are. Only in quietness can you feel this, in this peace. Not in noise, but in peace and quietness. Only then will you feel stillness and harmony and joy. How many of you are happy?
Pretty happy.
How many of you are really, really happy?
Sometimes.
How many of you are really, 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 really happy?
No, you love
it. Very few. We still believe happiness lies in things and places and people. We still believe that if you win the lottery, you'll be happy for a while. Or if you meet the right person, you'll be happy. Or if things go your way, you'll be happy. How many times have you done this and you've not been happy? Happiness lasts for a short time. Material happiness, then it goes away. Can you believe there's such a thing as unalloyed happiness? Unbroken happiness? Happiness that goes with you and stays with you and never changes? Yes, my friends, there's such a happiness. If you ever felt it, you'll never be the same again. It's a happiness that brings you bliss and joy and awakens you to the truth of yourself. This happiness is you. It is your natural birthright, which you really are. But you've been looking in all the wrong places. You hear the song, looking for love in all the wrong places. But it's within yourself. All you have to do is turn within. It's not on the outside. It's not a better job or a better person or more money or more health. This has absolutely nothing to do with it. Yet it appears that it does. We're all born to die, so to speak. No one's going to last forever. whatever you accumulate, whatever you do in this life, you can't take it with you. So why are you searching for something that you can't take with you? Does that make any sense? You can't take certain people with you. You can't take your couch or your house with you. You can't take your car with you. You can't even take your body with you. It all stays behind. Yet most of us never want to think about these things. We don't want to think we're going to leave something behind. We think we're going to live forever. What a joke. Yet, there is an essence within you, the joy within you that never dies. It lives forever. Where does it live forever? Find out. I'm not going to tell you. I'll spoil all the fun. You're not what you think you are. You're not what it appears to be. Forget about all your problems, all your joys, all your sorrows, all your happiness. Forget about all these things. They can do absolutely nothing to you or for you. Stop thinking. Quiet your mind. Become still, peaceful. Then you will feel the presence. Then you will feel the power. Do you feel it? When it's quiet, silent? Tremendous power. Tremendous bliss, joy. It abides as you when you keep still. When you rejoice in yourself. When you take refuge in yourself. When you love yourself. Have you ever tried really to love yourself? Not speaking about your ego, what you appear to be, but to love the self. Your real self. The self which has always been and will always be. You are that self right now, just the way you are. Nothing has to change. You're saying nothing has to change. My life is all screwed up. Nothing has to change. It has to change. You're looking at the wrong picture. The screwed up life is not yours. You're not that at all. You love the self. You love the self which is eternal. The absolute reality. Consciousness. Pure awareness. That is yourself. Have you ever thought of yourself as pure awareness? Total freedom, complete bliss, boundless space. This is your true nature, boundless space. All pervading omnipresence. Feel yourself as that. Forget about your body. Stop thinking about it. Leave it alone. It's not you. Never was you. You are boundless space. Pure awareness. Beauty, joy. Everlasting bliss. You must begin seeing yourself this way. What you see, you become. What you feel, you become. You think about all the wrong, you become. What do you think about yourself all day long? How do you see yourself? How do you feel about yourself? It's an important question. For you are what you see. There's only one self, and you are that. But if you see something else, it's not my fault. Why do you see the confusion, the chaos, the turmoil, the sickness, the poverty, the lack? Who told you to see this? You've been brainwashed into a little person. So believe that this is the universe that you have to struggle in. Overcome things. It's a lie. There's nothing you have to overcome because there's nothing you ever became to overcome. You are pure consciousness. Pure being. This is your nature. If you see and think everything is Brahman, you will become Brahman. If you see everything as lack and limitation, you will become lack and limitation. You're in control, you're in charge of this. No one can really control you. You are the power. You have all the power that exists. It is all within you. It is all you. You are that. You've always been that. What makes you think you're something else? Awaken to the truth. Awaken to reality, your reality. The one reality. What about this world? This world is like a dream. It's all. Just a dream. Comes and it goes. See the day is gone tomorrow. When you get involved in the dream, this thing is real. If you're dreaming, you got tied up by savages and they're cooking you alive. When you woke up, would you try to go put the fire out? Try to escape, you laugh. You see, this was all a dream. It's not happening. I'm awake now. And so this was this world. This universe. Things appear to be real. It makes you react to things. You're trying to change things. You're trying to improve this world. And you're doing it all as a dream. So you say, should I do nothing good in this world? Should I help others? As long as you're dreaming, help others. Do good in this world. Do what you can. To alleviate the pain and suffering of others. But when you're awakening, you'll see there are no others. There are no others. There's only the one. the one reality, you are that. There are never any others. As long as you've not experienced this state, you must continue to do good works, do what you can to help the misery of this world. Have compassion, loving kindness. Help others all you can. But all the time, work on yourself. Continue to work on yourself. Always. Never stop working on yourself. How do you work on yourself? Whenever something happens to you, or see something in the world that you don't agree with, you don't like, or have a feeling inside that disturbs you, question it, ask, to whom does it come? Who experienced this feeling? To whom does it come? And you say, it comes to me. I feel this. And inquire further, who am I? This process is called self-inquiry, or the direct path. It skips all the meditations, yoga, pranayama. It goes beyond everything, it goes beyond everything. Direct path, self-inquiry. It's good for everyone. Everyone should practice it. When you first get up in the morning, as soon as the thoughts come to you, ask whom these thoughts come. Ask yourself. Whatever the thoughts are, to whom do they come? What are you experiencing these thoughts? What are these feelings? And the answer will be, I do. And you inquire further, who am I? What you're really saying is, where's the source of this I? Is what you're really saying. Where does I come from? What's the source? I am the root thought. It's the root thought. Root of all thoughts. If you can quench the I, all the other thoughts will go with it. So you don't have to try to remove thoughts or change thoughts. You simply get rid of the I that thinks that. When the eye is eliminated, so will all of your thoughts be. And it'll be home. This is what you should practice day and night, all the time. This is the best psychotherapy in the world. Whenever something disturbs you, no matter what it is, whenever something annoys you, whenever something bothers you, inquire within yourself, so when does this come? Who feels this? Who feels this? And of course you'll say, I do. The I is the answer. Where does I come from? Who feels this? Am I the I? No, I wouldn't be able to say I do. Who is this I? Where did it come from? How did it appear? The I is only a thought. There's no validity, no reality. It's a thought. Follow through its source by observing it, by watching it. as you do this, certain stuff will come to you again and repeat the procedure again and again. As soon as this karma was feeling this, was thinking this, I am. Where's this I? Who's the I? Where did it come from? Where did I come from? What you're doing is you're separating yourself from the I. Slowly but slowly, little by little, you're separating yourself from the I source. And one day the I will just vanish completely. At that time we become absolute reality, pure awareness. But you have to practice this continuously. And you're going to sleep when you wake up all the time. Who am I? Meaning, what is the source of the I? To whom these thoughts come? Who feels oppressed? Who feels disturbed? Who feels out of sorts? I do. Who am I? And you have to yearn for freedom inside. You have to yearn for absolute freedom. And make it first in your life. What is first in your life you become? Think for a moment, what's the most important thing in your life? To be free? To have $1 million? If you have $1 million, then you're going to go work and all kinds of things and get rich. And think of all of your time. And one day you'll drop dead and that's the end of that. Granted, if you're smart, you'll try to find out what truly your reality is. What is reality? Who am I? Where did I come from? What is life all about? It's all within you. All the answers are within you. Where to express themselves. And that's wasting any more time. But diligently begin to practice this method. Wherever you are, it makes no difference if you're driving in your car, if you're watching TV, if you're doing the dishes, if you're working in the office. Everyone can practice, who am I? Now feel the sounds. The sounds really isn't the sounds. It's beyond explanation. When I speak of the sounds, I'm speaking of reality. God, consciousness. Feel it. Feel it right now. As you feel it, if thoughts come to you, ask yourself, some of these thoughts come, who's playing these thoughts, who's being bothered by these thoughts, I am? Or who am I? This is a definite method. Don't bring it home. If you will practice it. Do not think of time, how long it will take. For time is non-existent. It's like the story of the student who was with his master, and his master was teaching him all these principles. And he kept asking, Master, how long will it take me to get there? How long will it take? He kept bothering the Master all day long. Finally, the Master told him, come with me. He took him to the lake and told him to look into the lake. And he did his Master push him into the lake and held his head under the water for a long time. When he pulled him up by the hair, he looked the student in the eye and he asked him, what was it that you wanted mostly when you were under the water drowning? And all the students was able to do was grasp for air, and he said, air, air. And the master said, when you want truth as much as you wanted air, you'll have it. When you want to be free as much as you wanted air, you'll become free. And so it is with us. Again, what do we put first in our lives? What do we get involved in? Think of all the nonsense that's going on in our lives. Do we need all this nonsense? Drop it. Drop everything. Your true nature is ultimate reality. Your true nature is bliss consciousness. Your true nature is pure awareness. You are that Brahman that has always been and always will be. You are the universe right now. Enjoy it. Accept it. Be it. And be free. The Guru, I want you to ask me a question. If you stump me, you get to sit over here and I sit over there. So feel free to ask a question about anything. Very inquisitive bunch of people.
What is the purpose of evil in the world?
To whom does evil come? Who experiences evil? Is there such a thing as evil? It's how it appears. Is it really evil? The light that appears to us in the cleansing process. A human being, so to speak, a world, so to speak, it doesn't exist. A place to be cleansed every now and again. The way the earth is cleansed is through earthquakes, cataclysms, all kinds of good things like that. And everything begins fresh and new. The way a person is cleansed is through suffering, so it appears. You go through certain suffering and you come out beautiful and happy. Maybe not in this life. It's like a flower. When you plant a rose seed, if you were as big as an atom, and you observe the rose seed, you see a tremendous explosion taking place, like a nuclear explosion. In order for the rose to come out, it has to be destroyed. It has to be an explosion. And a beautiful rose comes out. In other words, if there were no explosion, you wouldn't have the rose. This is true with everything in life, when it appears to be life. So something happened that we were told that we were little with evil. And when you separate, we say, this is evil, this is good, this is right, this is wrong. It's all taking place in your mind. Everything takes place in your mind. Stop the mind from moving and everything will stop. There will be no more evil for you. That's why it is written, evil in the eye of the beholder. So what you see. You may see evil, another person looks at the same situation and sees harmony and joy. The person is looking, who's seeing. So rather than try to differentiate between evil and good, right and wrong, try within yourself and find out who you are. Don't see there's any evil in the world.
Robert, what if there are apparent individuals whose motivation for liberation is not quite as much as that fellow that wanted air when he was drowning? Is there anything to be done about that?
He has to work on himself continuously, peacefully, until the time comes when he has that kind of desire, that kind of feeling. As you look at this world and you become disturbed by it, you will one day realize, why am I going after this world? Why am I allowing the world to bother me? Why do I react to this world? And you go deeper and deeper and deeper. As you come to satsang all the time, and if you're studying these things, you will find that you are gradually becoming less and less, and your true self is becoming more and more. And you will win eventually. So don't think that you're not doing it when you have no desire. Or something's keeping you back. Do the best you can. And when you're practicing, do good to others. Have compassion for the world. And do the best you can, everything will take care of itself. It's hard to look at ourselves and think that we're making progress in that. We can't see this in ourselves. But anyone who comes to something like this, who practices these things by themselves, something is happening. Something wonderful is happening inside. I wonder if you will feel it. You just keep practicing, practicing, practicing. They'll be home soon. Have no fear all as well.
Robert, if going deeper and deeper and deeper, something like when water gets hotter and hotter and hotter and it doesn't appear that anything is happening, it's still just plain old water, you know, and there's a point where it just starts to bubble, you know, and then there's a point that it actually evaporates and completely changes from water into vapor and disappears. Is that like going deeper and deeper into silence? And there's a certain point where you just evaporate or coincide with reality and then everything, you know.
If you wish to use that analogy, it's fine.
Because I noticed that long ago, about 20 years ago, I had a profound thing happen to me just by accident. I had never read a book or never went to any meetings of any kind. And just looking back now on how it happened, it was like going, falling and falling and falling into emptiness for several days. You know, and then there was a point where there was just absolutely nothing. You know, it was like profound emptiness. And there was a certain tremendous fear at a certain point. And when I look back on it, it seemed there was like a depth of more profound emptiness. You know, no motion at all. And then at a certain point, something happened that it was just like an explosion, you know. And so, like, the silence, it seems that, you know, we can be silent in the mind and nothing seems to be happening. And then I look back at that and I remember what a difference that was. between that silence of absolute death-like, you know, not just silence for a few minutes and the mind coming back and then the desires coming back, but it was just like a completely different mode of being, you know.
Life really then.
To say it happened by accident, it was like a coincidence. It wasn't something I knew about and tried for.
It happened by itself.
It just happened by accident without ever knowing a single teaching, having read a single book.
That's the best way for it to happen. What happened? Why did it go away?
The mind came back. How could I live like this? That was the first thought.
See, this means, what this means to me is you never really had it. If you really had it, it would never go away.
So what is it then? It wasn't the real thing, but it was some kind of a...
Yes, you had a spiritual experience, which was good.
Yeah.
It was to a certain degree, but not to the self of it.
Yeah.
At least you know something is there. It makes you believe stronger. Because if you have not experienced anything, you wouldn't know if anything exists like this. But since you had the experience, you know it exists.
But the funny thing is that, you know, everybody's like, we're all searching for something. And the funny thing is, in this little thing that happened, it came out of absolutely nothing, nothing. Not a speck of anything.
You'll experience it again. And you'll see it this time. It won't go away. All is well. Well, I have a reading by Mary. We read this once a year.
The business for which you have come. All events in life are shaped according to the divine plan. What is bound to happen will happen, and what is not to happen cannot be brought about by any human effort. On this point, Ramana was quite categorical. When Devaraja Mudaliar questioned him as to whether only important things in one's life should, such as a major occupation or a profession alone, are predetermined, or even trifling acts, Ramana replied, everything is preordained. One of the purposes of birth is to go through certain experiences which have been marked out in the karmic unfoldment of this life. The whole program is chalked out. This would apparently be a dampener to all effort, for one would be puzzled as to what the responsibility of man is. Is he an automaton or karmic forces? Where do his free will and effort come in? Ramana points out that there is another, deeper purpose in life, that is to search and find out the truth for oneself. He would say that the only useful purpose of life is to turn within and realize there is nothing else to do. Ramana would therefore constantly din into everyone the fact that the ultimate truth is skarsha, immediately available here and now. When Natandananda asked Ramana, is it possible for everyone to know directly, without doubt, what exactly is one's true nature? Prompt came the reply, undoubtedly it is possible. The ultimate truth is so simple, Ramana would say, it is nothing more than abiding in one's own state. This is the essential message of all religions and creeds. Leaving aside the automatic course of our lives regulated by the Creator, according to His law, one's duty is to channel effort to be self-aware. Steadfastness of purpose is in treading the inner path through vigilant self-inquiry. On such inquiry as to the source of the individual, the inquirer merges in the conscious source. The inner odyssey is seldom smooth sailing. Full, many a delusion would wean one away. For instance, people would go to Sri Ramana Ashram to breathe its rarefied atmosphere. While there, instead of surrendering to His flowing grace, they would get involved in the happenings of the ashram management. Ramana used to jollily remark of some visitors, on their first visit to Sri Ramana Ashram, they seem to be all right. On their second visit, they discover the ashram is not properly run. And on the third visit, they start giving advice. And on the fourth, they know best how to run the place. And on the fifth, they discover that the management is not responsive. On the sixth, they suggest that the present staff should walk out, leaving the ashram to them. They would thus get bogged down in things which are irrelevant for the search. When such people complained, Ramana would say, "Mind the business for which you have come." This would apply, of course, not only to their visit to Sri Ramana Ashram, but also to the purpose of human life itself. One has to constantly keep before the mind's eye the liberating purpose, the only worthwhile one of freeing oneself from the karmic chain by discovering the hidden truth. Ramana would even seemingly chide if one failed to pursue one's own sadhana, time thinking and talking of others. Wasted, probably. A devotee once told Ramana, "I have been here for many years. People get into samadhi. I close my eyes for a moment, and my mind travels round the world." Ramana replied, "Why do you think about others? Let them meditate, sleep, or snore. Look to yourself. Whenever your mind goes astray, bring it back to the quest." Once Bhagwan told a devotee, "You wake up, look at the mirror. It shows the growth to be got rid of. Instead of wasting time, start shaving." Similarly, heaven knows when the allotted time would end. Hence, not to seek the truth by vigilant self-inquiry is truly suicidal. Many would like to blame their circumstances for their indolence and laziness and failure to pursue self-inquiry. Ramana would ask, "Why depend on that which is not in your hands? Go ahead with the business which is in your hands. Under your control, leaving aside what you cannot do anything about." Proper utilization of God-given freedom of turning the mind is what is needed all the time. As for adverse circumstances in life of which everyone has a bellyful, while sympathizing, Ramana would at the same time say, "You are always free not to be affected by the pleasure and pain consequent on action. The teeth have to be taken out of the event by an attitudinal change which neutralizes it." Sometimes Ramana would advise leaving things to the sure hands of the Sadguru and to stick single-mindedly to the effort which would make one self-aware. Ramana would say, why don't you do what the first class railway passenger does? He tells the guard his destination, locks the door, and goes to sleep. The rest is done by the guard. If you can trust your guru as much as you trust the railway guard, it will be good enough to make you reach the destination. Again, when someone pestered him for the darshan of Sri Krishna, he said, why don't you leave the sakshatkara of Krishna to Krishna? We also have the pointed advice given by him to Ganapati Muni. Remain all the time steadfast in the heart. God will determine the future for you and accomplish the work. What is to be done will be done at the proper time. Don't worry, abide in the heart. Life becomes meaningful if we joyously tread the inward path, remembering that ours is to do the vichara and it is for the inner force to do the rest. Then bliss is not the end product to be found on reaching the goal, but is felt all along the homeward, heartward journey.
Thank you.